Today we're doing vessels. I don't cover the names of them except for really major ones in lecture, so that's what the lab is for, to learn the names of the other ones that do have names. Of course, most vessels don't have names because they're way too small. They're not only, I mentioned this in lecture, but the smaller you get, not only are they too numerous to give names to all of them, but they become more and more variable from person to person as you get smaller. Where they are, how they look, with the arrangement of them gets more and more variable. So when you're talking about the biggest ones, they're arranged more or less, but even still have some variety, but more or less the same arrangement from person to person. That's one thing that you should appreciate, though, when you look at different cats today, that they don't all branch at exactly the same point, things like that. I guess this must be Herb's drawing. Can you see that? Somewhat. There's only a couple things I want to talk about because it's mostly just learning stuff by looking at it today. But one thing I want to talk about is the asymmetry in the major arteries coming from the heart compared to the veins that go to the heart. There's more symmetry in the veins than there are in the arteries. Now, only at first, only very close to the heart. Once they start branching, once you get to the shoulders, then it is pretty symmetrical. There's a right and a left version, except for some things in the abdomen. But right at the heart, there's not symmetry for most people with respect to the arteries. The arrangement in most people is the way he has it drawn here. So the aortic arch, first of all, what are the aortic arch is coming out of where? Well, it's part of the aorta, but the left ventricle, right. So that's the beginning of the systemic circuit, right? It's carrying oxygenated blood because it's already come back from the lung before it gets to the left side. The aortic arch, though, in most people, has three prominent branches right away. Well, actually, the first branches are the coronary arteries that you don't even see branching because that's right, as I showed you in lecture, where the valve is. But after you see the actual aorta coming from the heart, it has three branches right on the arch itself. And the arch is just the part that is arch-shaped. As soon as it starts downward, that's the descending aorta. It's no longer called the aortic arch. On that arch, though, are these three prominent branches in this order. The first branch, and it's only this part of it, only this length of it, from this branch from the aorta to where it branches itself is the only part of what I'm naming first. And that's the brachiocephalic trunk. Now, what does brachiocephalic mean? That's the other point I wanted to talk about today, is to go through these and make sense of these names. The anatomical name for the arm, which, by the way, is not this whole extremity. The arm, officially, anatomically, is only from shoulder to elbow. From elbow to wrist is forearm. But the arm itself is called the brachium, and therefore brachial means of the arm. Cephalic means of the head. So brachiocephalic trunk gets its name because it delivers blood, once it branches, to both the head and the arm. And it's a trunk simply because it's very short before it branches, just like the pulmonary trunk coming out of the right ventricle. There is no left and right brachiocephalic trunk. That's part of the asymmetry. There's only one brachiocephalic trunk coming off the only one aorta. And then its branches are into the right subclavian artery. Now, sub means below, right? Clavian means of the clavicle, which is the shoulder bone. So the artery itself is right below that and just inferior to it, so it's subclavian. In this makes sense of the names, and it's a hell of a lot easier to memorize these. The other branch of the brachiocephalic trunk is the right common carotid artery. Now, common here doesn't mean run-of-the-mill. Common means that It's a tube that two other tubes have in common. They share it. So the common carotid comes first, and then it branches, once you get up to the angle of the jaw, it branches into internal and external carotid arteries. All right, so you have a left and a right common carotid artery, and a left and the right internal and external carotid arteries. By the way, the words internal and external here really mean, external means lateral, and internal means more medial. So it's the internal carotid artery that serves the brain, the external carotid artery serves the face. All right, but the next branch from the aorta, the second branch, right toward the top of the arch in most people, is the left common carotid artery. So notice the asymmetry there. The left common carotid artery comes directly off of the aorta. The right common carotid artery comes off of the brachiocephalic trunk. Then the third one is the left subclavian. Once again, asymmetrical. The left subclavian comes directly off the aortic arch, whereas the right subclavian branches from the brachiocephalic trunk. And all that makes sense because you only have one aorta, right? You don't have left and right aortas, otherwise it would be symmetrical, probably. Once you get to the subclavians and get to the shoulders, then it's symmetrical. All those other branches are symmetrical. And another important point of these is that, of course, all these tubes are connected to each other. It has to be continuous for the blood to keep flowing through them. So when you get to naming vessels, the name of the same tube changes when you get to a certain part in the body. Realize that. Sometimes it's defined by a branch point where the name will change. Other times, not really so much branch as just where it is in the body, which is why it's also important to know the anatomical terms. So what is the anatomical term for the armpit? Axilla. And therefore axillary, not auxiliary. That's the wrong word. Axillary means of the axle, or axilla, which is the armpit. And therefore the subclavian artery becomes the axillary artery when you're in the armpit region. That same tube then gets renamed into the brachial artery once you're down in the arm officially. The brachium. The brachial artery then branches into radial and ulnar branches in the forearm because those are the two bones of the forearm, right? Radius and ulna. And which one is always associated with the thumb, no matter what position you're in? The radius, exactly. So keep that in mind if you're looking at, you know, whether you're in the supine, you're supinated, your forearm is supinated or pronated, doesn't matter if you just remember that the thumb is always with the radius. All right, so the same thing on the other side, but then he has also the descending aorta drawn here, which there's only one descending aorta as well, of course. And that's a long tube. It goes all the way through the thorax and all the way through the abdominal pelvic cavity before it finally splits into two major ones on the bottom. Now, that's another situation at that branching at the bottom of the abdominal pelvic cavity of having a common and branching into an external and an internal. Only these are not carotid arteries. These are called iliac arteries. Carotid, by the way, means inducing stupor. Which is why if you block it, I mean, it's called that because if you block off the carotid artery, you will pass out because you block blood flow to the brain. Iliac, though, gets its name from the ilium, which is one of the bones of the ascoxa, right, the hip bones. So you have left and right, right and left common iliac arteries branching directly off of the abdominal aorta. And then farther down, you'll have external and internal iliac arteries branching from the common one. So that's, once again, what common means. Two things with the same name share that one in common. So that's That's the asymmetry. Now, when it comes to veins, it's much more symmetrical. So there are, what you see on the right is the same as on the left. Except, of course, when you get to the biggest veins, the two vena cavae, which there's only one of, right? So the superior vena cava, there's only one of them draining the top part of the body. Only one inferior vena cava draining the bottom part of the body. And so that will make sense to you when you look at that, much more than the arteries probably. Now, I think the best thing to do today is to look at your pictures in your book and the models and those posters to make sense of it as much as you can before you even look at a cat, and then try to look at different cats to see. Well, first of all, it'll be a lot easier to look at a cat once you already know them, how they're arranged. But then you can also appreciate how each cat is a little bit different from the other. So definitely don't just look at one cat as usual. The other terms I wanted to make sense of, in case you didn't know what they meant. Well, temporal just means of the of time, right? But temporal means also of the temples. Temple itself, though, means time. Anyone know why the temples are called this? Because particularly on men, this is where hair starts to get gray early on, so it gives you an indication of time. And they were called the temples. Renal, of the kidney. Femoral, of the femur. And tibial, of the tibia. So they're mostly named for bones or organs. Basilic. The veins in the arm. Notice that there, in the upper limb, I should say. Notice that there's a basilic, a cephalic, and a brachial vein. I don't know what the proper page is to look at, but in the vein section.
409.
Basilic means prominent. A basilica, for instance, is a prominent church, right? That's why it's called a basilica versus just a regular church. And so that basilic vein is called that because it's very easy to find. It's prominent. The brachial vein, self-explanatory. Cephalic vein seems to be a misnomer because cephalic means of the head, right? And this is a vein that's in the arm. The reason it was called that, though, is because ancients used to think that bleeding patients from that vein could cure things that were wrong with the head. So it was called that. It doesn't make any anatomical sense, but we're sticking with the name, I guess. And then saphenous, the last one on the to-do list, to-know list, that comes from a Greek word that means manifest, which is just another way of saying evident or prominent. So it's a real obvious vein. The great saphenous vein is actually the longest vein in terms of the length it travels with the same name. There's other, you know, like I said, it's all the same tube, but they change the names. Great saphenous vein stays being called the great saphenous vein for quite a long distance. But it's another one that it really means the same thing as basilic. It means easy to find, obvious, or prominent. And that's pretty much the whole list. So go ahead and find these things and then work with the cats.